Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Revelation. Now to Pastor Chris.
Revelation 6 today. The seals are opened, the tribulation begins, and the four horsemen of the apocalypse ride out. In chapter 6, judgment gets real. We left off in heaven. The scroll, the title deed to the earth, is in the hands of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. There are seven seals on that scroll, and those seals represent the price tag for redeeming the earth, buying it back from sin and darkness, and from the rule of Satan. But the price is high. And here in chapter 6, at verse 1, I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say, in a voice like thunder, "Come." What we're about to read is the opening of the seven seals. With each seal comes a judgment upon the earth. John is called over to look down from heaven back to the earth as judgment is unleashed. Thus begins the tribulation period. Now, to understand all of this, we need to pan out to the big picture. So let's go back to the outline for Revelation to put this in perspective. What you have seen, he saw Jesus, chapter 1. What is now, the church age, chapters 2 and 3. And what will take place after this, the end times, chapter 4 to the end. And here, in the end times, chapters 4 and 5, the rapture and the church in heaven. Chapters 6 to 19, the tribulation and the earth in judgment. 19, Jesus returns, the second coming. 20, the millennium, Jesus reigns on earth 1,000 years. 21 and 22, a new heaven and new earth. Need a review? Just hit rewind again. So, chapter 6 begins the tribulation. What is the tribulation? It is 7 years, the last 7 years of earth as we know it. Tribulation means trouble or trial, and the tribulation is God's judgment on the world. Evil is unrestrained. God allows mankind to see just how wicked it is, and God brings justice. The tribulation is also one last great effort to save. The gospel is proclaimed to every last person. We'll get the details as we go, but first, what's the purpose of the tribulation? For that, we go to one of the key passages to understand the end times and all times, Daniel 9. In Daniel 9, God lays out a timetable for his ultimate plan for Israel and for the world. Written around 600 BC, Daniel gives a spectacular set of prophecies that accurately predict empires, leaders, and wars for many centuries. In chapter 9, an angel lays out God's timetable in 70 weeks, where a week is 7 years rather than 7 days. 70 weeks, 490 years, and 69 of them led up to Jesus' death, precisely. Then God hit the pause button. The pause was the church age, chapters 2 and 3. As soon as the church is raptured, the clock is ticking again. The last week, the last 7 years, is the tribulation. Now, it is there in Daniel 9 that God explains the purpose. Listen carefully. 70 weeks or sevens are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness. So the plan is to end sin. The plan is to atone. That means cover sin, to make it right. The plan is everlasting righteousness, living right, right with God and right with each other forever. Now, for a fuller explanation, please listen to our guide in Daniel 9. For now, just know this tribulation, this last 7 years, is about ending the wrong and making it right, and right forever. All right, now let's zoom back into the story here in chapter 6. The Lamb has the scroll, and the first seal has been opened. Verse 2, I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown. And he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. The first seal opened releases a rider on a white horse. It is the first of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Sounds really dramatic, right? Because it is dramatic. It's the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Now remember, Revelation is full of symbolism, but symbolic of real things. The first one rides on a white horse, and he carries a bow. Some readers have thought this is Jesus because Jesus rides a white horse in chapter 19. But the other three riders are war, famine, and death, which is not exactly Jesus' posse. This rider is someone who tries to look like a savior. It's the Antichrist. He carries a bow, which could be a weapon, or could be like a rainbow, a covenant of peace. In Daniel and in 2 Thessalonians, we know the Antichrist will be a charismatic world leader who will make a peace treaty with Israel. He will solve the Middle East mess, but he will use the promise of peace to conquer. The second seal is opened, and in verse 4, then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword. The second horseman is war. The third seal is opened, a black horse, scarcity and poverty. A day's wages will only buy enough wheat for the day, barely scraping by. But there's plenty of oil and wine. The picture here is the poor suffering while the rich enjoy their luxuries. What's happening here? Well, reality is happening. I heard a report that 95% of famines are caused not by ecology, but by politics, man-made. The seal judgments are not so much God punishing man as they are God leaving man to his own devices. Antichrist is the ultimate human leader, unsubmitted to God. War is how man makes peace. The scarcity and poverty while the rich have plenty. And with God's people taken out of the way, mankind gets a full taste of life without God. Like a prodigal child who says, "Give me my inheritance and leave me alone." God says, "Okay, you can go." But as we shall see, the father will leave the door open. Back in verse 7, the fourth seal is opened, and the fourth horseman, a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill. Verse 9 is the fifth seal. No more horsemen. The fifth seal opens the cry of the martyrs, those who have been killed for their faith in Christ. And they cry out to God for justice. How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? So this is about vengeance? Christian martyrs want vengeance? Yes. Understand, Christians are imprisoned, beaten, killed today, right now, for their faith, and they forgive freely because God promises that he will make it right. Vengeance is the Lord's. The martyrs are given white robes, God's righteousness, and asked to wait just a little longer, all in God's time. Verse 12, I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to earth. What is that? Sun black, moon red, stars fall, then the sky rolls up. What happened? I don't know. Seriously, I don't. But I'm pretty sure you'll know it when it happens. Some have guessed that this is nuclear war, and John describes it in the best terms he knows how. Or God could be doing something radical. Mankind abused the earth, took God's gifts for granted, and God takes away. I don't know for sure. Whatever it is, it sends the peoples of earth running for cover in caves and mountains. Verse 16, they called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it? And so ends chapter 6. Six seals down, one to go. Two big questions we haven't approached yet. One, how do we know for sure that we won't go through the tribulation? Not everybody agrees on this. And two, so much judgment. What happened to the God of mercy and grace? Same Jesus, same God, yesterday, today, and forever. So what happened? Well, we'll get back to those in chapter 7. There we will see mercy flowing out again. But the God of justice and the God of mercy are one and the same. For now, read chapter 6 and allow God to reveal himself and his glory, and who he is as he planned it, through the word.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.